everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
And our buddy, Eric's here.
Hello.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Pretty good. I got to say this. I think this is the third time already this year that we've used this particular song as the intro.
Yeah, even though, you know, Sting didn't use this theme song at the time. That has nothing to do with what we're doing.
I don't even know. Eric, do you even have the Crow song on here?
No, the Crow song sucked anyway.
I didn't realize it was the old one. I just saw Sting, so I used Sting. I forgot it was the old one.
Yeah. But we got a hell of an episode tonight for the good people. We have Super Brawl 98. So 37th pay-per-view retrospective. It's going to be a good one, and I'm excited to talk about it. Before we get into all that, do we have a worker of the week?
I'm going to say the worker of the week, to me, has got to be Asuka. Because since coming back at the Royal Rumble, she's got the makeup and all that on, you know, as the murder clown. First of all, she scared the shit out of me.
Did she?
Yeah. There is no way she is not winning the Elimination Chamber tomorrow night and challenging Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. It just makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Unless Bianca is going to go heel. So if they decided to have Raquel win it, which I think would be the best option, if they had Raquel win it and then Bianca goes heel, then I could see that.
How would you turn Belair, her heel? She's too much
of a
fan favorite.
She started out as a heel, right, in NXT?
Yeah, but she's on a big baby face.
Oh, yeah.
Why turn her heel mid-run? I'm with Eric here.
I'm saying that's the only way that her versus Raquel could work is if you turn her heel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
I get that.
Yeah. Now, first of all, you know, and sorry to say this in front of Sharon, but 90% of women are heels anyway. And that's just in real life. But, it wouldn't be that hard. And plus, also...
It would be. I mean, she's on a run. You can do it, but it would be a little out of left field, though. I feel like she would
be completely out of left field. I'm saying, though, that's the only way a babyface like a Raquel Rodriguez or Liv Morgan that could be justified them winning tomorrow night.
Why can't you do babyface versus babyface?
Because
then you could do Raquel and her and then, you know, have Raquel beat her and then she turn heel.
I mean, that would work, too. I don't know. I just think they're going to set up because, first of all, it's a Raw women's title.
I think Asuka needs something to do at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Liv and Raquel can't go for the tag titles.
Yeah.
Or do something, you know, do something like that. Do like a multi-team tag title match or something like that. Instead of doing what the original plan is, and it's Rousey and Baszler versus Dakota and Io.
Dakota?
Yeah. So Asuka's definitely my worker of the week.
Who's yours, Eric?
Cody. I think he cut a good promo, and then I think he had match back. I don't know if it was his first match back, but he had a good match.
It was like his second match back. His first match back was against Balor.
I was about to say. Because he wrestled Finn.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did.
I give it to Sammy this week.
I can't wait to see what they do with him tonight. And then obviously the people.
Oh, it's in Montreal.
Yeah, both nights.
Yep. You're going to get a big ovation tonight.
I mean, do you think they pull the trigger and fucking have him win the title at Elimination Chamber and end a 3-year reign? I mean, it's like WWE to do. Like, remember when fucking Charlotte had that big pay-per-view streak and then they had Bayley take it from her at Fastlane right before WrestleMania?
Right, so then Bayley could get the WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, but Bayley could have had the WrestleMania moment by winning it at fucking WrestleMania, not at Fastlane.
I agree with you. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's like when you have big shit like that, like, and I know you got to make the pay-per-view before special, but...
And it is in Montreal, and, you know, Canadians have this thing about you better do something special for us or we'll fucking turn on you.
But I do think if you have Sammy win here, it takes away from Cody a lot. And making it a triple threat is just kind of fucky.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. You know, I actually do have another worker of the week, and that's actually my TV upstairs for not allowing me to cast AEW this week. It saved me a lot. Saved me a lot of headache.
Anyway, it was an okay show. It was nothing special.
Yeah. I mean, Raw and SmackDown, I think, have been... And that's the good thing about, you know, Raw and SmackDown during WrestleMania season is that, like, a lot of times they can hit it out of the park.
Yeah. I think they have been hitting it out of the park ever since Triple H has been doing creative.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of knows what he's doing with Cody, it seems like. So... I like it. I think because tomorrow's for both belts, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you work that, to be honest with you.
I think you're going to get screwed.
So
you either beat Sammy. You got to beat Sammy. They really want Sammy.
The best way to do it, tonight you run an angle where I think they did get permission for Jay to come into Montreal.
Okay.
Or at least for Jay, not for Jimmy.
Yeah.
But, because that was a big thing.
Yeah.
And Heyman told both of them they have to stay home next week. But I think Jay comes in tonight and makes everybody think that he is, that he's going to side with Sammy. And he'll go into the corner with Sammy tomorrow, but then he'll screw him during the match. And then Solo comes out and they help and they beat the shit out of Sammy. But then Kevin Owens comes out. And that's what helps set up the Undisputed Tag Team title match at WrestleMania with the Usos versus Sammy and Owens.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So. I mean, tomorrow's going to be fun. It'll be fun to see. I'm rooting for Sammy, but I'm also not. It's weird.
Yes. I'll tell you what is going to be very interesting tomorrow is what they do with Theory in the Elimination Chamber for the U.S. title. Because, you know, you pointed out, because I said that if he works Cena at WrestleMania, he does not need the U.S. title. You pointed out that it would be like a full circle moment, Cena challenging for the U.S. title because he made the title famous.
In WWE.
Yeah. But I don't know because I don't see anybody else in that match and somebody on another podcast brought up Bronson Reed. Like, give him the title because if you beat him now, you're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Because
this reminds me of, like, the Ryback Elimination Chamber for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
I don't think a match like this should be for a mid-tier title. I know, like, it makes the title special or whatever, but I just feel like it takes away a little – I don't know. I don't like it. I think it should always be for the world title or for a shot at WrestleMania or something like that.
Yeah, but they have already got the WrestleMania shot figured out, and they didn't want to do an Elimination Chamber. They wanted to do Roman and Sammy by themselves.
I understand.
Yeah.
I just think it's
So are you saying it should have just been one chamber tomorrow and that's for the shot at Bianca?
Yeah.
Or maybe even have done or put other people in that match and take like take some of the SmackDown girls out and put them against Charlotte maybe and do for the SmackDown.
Well, I would just do Bianca in the chamber for the women's title and then that's your chamber. Why does it have to be for a shot? Who's she wrestling?
She's not wrestling anybody, but she's going to find out tomorrow night who's wrestling her at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it'd be better if she just wrestled for the title and then do a number one contenders match.
Yeah, especially since the two people that you would expect to be in the chamber tomorrow aren't even in it, and that's Becky and Bayley.
Yeah. It's just, it's not as special. It doesn't feel as special this year.
Because they're
and
building
and Becky are not even doing anything, are they?
No.
They're building it on Sammy and Roman.
And that's fair because it's apparently the best fucking storyline of all time, but...
Well, according to Michael Cole, it's anyway.
Michael Cole's an idiot, but...
No, there's no lying. There's no argument there.
I think if it wasn't in Montreal, it would be different.
I mean, yeah. But I don't know. You're right, but also they're really loving him over here in the States. I don't know. I don't know. Either way, they're kind of like shooting themselves in the foot because like Roman's going to win and it's going to like the crowd's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's good.
They might throw stuff.
That's fine though. That's huge.
If he gets screwed over, they might throw stuff in the ring.
It's just fans need to realize that he's got to lose for Cody to get his moment. Cody's your baby. Cody's your champion here.
Yeah.
He's your babyface world champion, and I love Sami Zayn. And if it was two belts, fine, fuck it, have them both. But if it's only one undisputed champion and I'm running a company, I'm picking Cody Rhodes over Sami Zayn to fucking...
Oh, now, as far as I know, there's no other pay-per-views between now... or premium live events between now and WrestleMania, right? Like it's Elimination Chamber, and then we have the few weeks off till WrestleMania, right?
Yes.
Because I was going to say, what you could technically do is Cody could come out, and we could set up like a six-man or something at some point with the Usos and Solo versus Owens and Reigns and Owens and Zayn and Rhodes.
That would be cool.
But it would have to be done on a TV.
Yeah. I just, we'll see what happens, but I hope Cody Rhodes gets his moment. Or at least, Cody and Roman seems like the best possible WrestleMania main event to me.
It is.
Cody and Sammy doesn't do the same thing.
Again, it's all going to depend, I think, on whether or not they can get Jey Uso into Montreal.
Yeah.
Because... if they can get him in there and help him build to a tag title match at WrestleMania, then it's fine.
But isn't he going to go there and be like, Sammy's a real one? I thought he fucks with Sammy now.
Well,
that's why he left.
He'll do that.
He'll and then
do
he'll
that
kick him in the
tonight,
face.
And then tomorrow will be the swerve.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Super Brawl 98. We are in the Cow Palace in San Francisco, California. Our attendance is 12,620 people.
Which was good for a WCW event back in the day, by the way.
It was huge. There's a lot of people. I mean, that's big now. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's Hogan versus Sting in the rematch for the world title, the vacant world title. This is, to me, this was everything Starrcade should have been, but here we are.
No. I do have one question.
Then ask it.
Which one was your WrestleMania, Starrcade or Super Brawl?
Starrcade.
Okay.
If you ask awesome. Bischoff, their WrestleMania was Halloween Havoc.
Bischoff's an idiot.
Oh.
Well, Bischoff has said numerous times that he didn't view Starrcade that way, and he always thought like the biggest event for them was like a Bash at the Beach or a Halloween Havoc, but he's wrong. Because why would he say that but build for a fucking year to Hogan and Sting at Starrcade? Your actions don't match the words.
Yeah,
that.
And then put Piper and Hogan on a Starrcade. And a Goldberg streak on a Starrcade?
Yeah. Don't tell me Starrcade don't mean nothing to you. But, and to be honest with you, Eric, Starrcade was before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it is.
So it was the WrestleMania before WrestleMania.
It was. And it was, because it was Dusty's idea for the big event.
Yeah.
And that was what my movie was going to be on when we did our movie pitches.
I remember.
It was the creation of Starrcade. But,
oh yeah,
Dusty Rhodes had a vision for Starrcade, and that's what it was going to be. And it was going to be a big event. And the first one was Flair for the Gold, nor was that three.
The first one was 83, that was Flair for the Gold.
The Ric Flair and Harley race. So there's some history for you. We start off this card with Booker T and Rick Martel, and then Booker goes on to face Saturday after, both for the television championship.
All right. Backstory here is the week before on Nitro, Rick Martel beats Booker T for the television title. And Booker, it was supposed to be Booker T and Saturn at Super Brawl. Well, then J.J. Dillon comes out, you know, one of your favorite people, gets the camera time.
He's a boob.
Comes out and says, Rick Martel versus Booker T. Later on in the night, Saturn gets the winner. Now, what was interesting here was that, and I had forgotten about this, but Martel was supposed to be the one that was going to do the double duty. But he got hurt after taking the hip toss and hitting his knee on the ropes.
So and I wonder, did he, like, whisper to Booker? Or?
I think he said he's, like, "Book, my knee's out."
That's crazy.
Because then when...
it would have been his last big push, too.
Yeah. And then, because he was supposed to pull the double duty, he was supposed to win. And then when Saturn got in, you know how Saturn went in right away and locked in the rings of Saturn?
Yeah.
He whispered in Booker's ear, he's like, "What do we do?"
Yeah.
"I didn't rehearse with you. I rehearsed with Martel." Like, what are we doing? And by the way, you know, Martel and Booker went 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Saturn and Booker went 14.
Yeah.
So they had to figure out 14 minutes, like, the entire way.
Yes.
And by the way, the match was so good that you could not tell that they had no idea what the fuck they were doing.
And the first one was so good that you couldn't tell Martel was hurt.
Exactly. So that just goes to show that these guys, you know.
I was very impressed. I know you're not a fan of him because of his commentary, but I was very impressed with the work rate from Booker T on this one.
Yeah, exactly. And it just goes to show that wrestling can be sometimes the ultimate improv.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to make shit up on the fly. Like, when there is a problem.
Yeah, and this is, like, an underrated circumstance. Like, we all know, like, the Kurt Angle, Triple H, Rock, SummerSlam shit.
Yeah.
We all know, like, the instances like that where it happens. But, like, it happens a lot more than people think. And when they're really good, you don't know about it.
Yeah. And, like, because that was a funny thing. I had completely forgotten until I read it that Martel was supposed to be the one to get, like, it to really go over and get the major push and all that.
Yeah.
All right. But I guess, you know, it was kind of a good thing that it happened for Booker because Booker's star skyrocketed.
Yeah.
But, again, it was just like, it's funnier than hell. Saturn goes in, and you can almost see him whispering in Book's ear. Like, if you really look for it,
yeah,
you could see him whispering, "What do we do?"
I'm going to have to go back and watch the Martel match again, though, because I didn't catch him getting hurt.
I had forgotten the spot. I thought he got hurt when he jumped off the rope and kind of jammed his knee.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I forgot it was on the hip toss.
Yeah. So it was they were both good matches. But the thing about Rick Martel is he's a constant professional.
Yeah.
And I think I do think the right guy won anyway. To be honest with you, I mean, I like Rick Martel, and I think he's awesome, and I know they were gearing up for a push, but, like, the World Television, like, it's not like Booker needed this more. It was a good thing Booker won.
And by the way, Booker's a homegrown.
Like, Martel is a heel, fighting Saturn is a heel. Like, did we need it? No.
No, I think they would have switched Martel back to babyface.
In the next 3 minutes?
Well,
but is he going to get on the microphone after he just beat a baby face and say, "I love you people"?
Well, I mean, I think that's what the plan was to elevate him as a baby face, which doesn't make sense because he healed up to beat Booker on Nitro.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a baby face technically, but when he used a heel move.
Yeah. But I think the right guy won here. I'm not saying I'm glad he got injured, and I love Rick Martel, but Booker looked really good, and he kind of needed this rub, and it looked good. Like, he beat two, like, kind of badass workers right, you know, back-to-back. And he went 25 minutes. Like, it was nothing.
And that's the thing. And by the way, 14 of that was unplanned.
Yeah, and he didn't look tired, and he looked good. I thought Booker was really good.
Yeah,
I
was impressed with Booker.
7 out of 10.
I'll give both matches an 8.
I'll give both matches an 8, too.
What did he say?
He said 8.
8.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would give it a 7. I like the Martel match a little better, to be honest. But Saturn and him were still good. All right, Disco Inferno and La Parca. Probably the only pee break. This goes about 12 minutes. But it actually was kind of a fun time. I liked when La Parca was pointing at himself on the screen that Hogan did later.
Yeah. You shit on La Parca doing it, but you were all right with Hogan doing it.
Yeah. Hogan. And I like La Parca. He's one of my favorite luchadors. But him and Disco actually didn't have a terrible match. And Disco was wildly over.
They had good chemistry.
They had good chemistry. I agree, Eric.
And a lot of this started because La Parca wanted to prove to Disco that he was a better dancer. I'm not lying.
I still can't get his song out of my head. Disco Inferno.
Disco Fever.
Every time that plays. Every time that plays, I sing it. I can't stop singing it.
No, but I thought it was an all right match. I mean, it's the worst match on the card, but this is a pretty good card.
Yeah. The worst match on the card that went, like, that went 11
minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I thought it was all right. I'll give it a 5, too.
I'll give it a 5.
All right, next up we got Goldberg and Brad Armstrong.
Which, by the way, was a last-minute addition on the card because we were supposed to get Larry Zbysko and Louis Spicoli. But Louis Spicoli ruined that by dying.
Poor guy.
Oh.
R.I.P.
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 That sucks.
And R.I.P. Brad Armstrong, too.
Yeah, definitely. And so, so this match was added last minute. Which, to be honest with you, I think I would take this match over Spicoli and Zbysko because Zbysko really did not need to be in the ring anymore. I mean, it sucks the circumstance because, nobody deserves, to lose their life.
No.
But, Zbysko did not need to rest.
No.
If Disco needs to wrestle,
he was okay
like,
on commentary.
Go out and do Sundays.
Maybe you do.
Alright, I'll be back.
Did you guys like Larry on commentary? I personally did.
I did.
I didn't like her. I liked Heenan better.
Well, I thought Heenan was the perfect person to end the night on commentary. I liked Disco as the start.
Yeah, he was good, but I don't know. I liked, because I liked the shenanigans with Heenan and Schiavone better. And then Tanay was a good technique guy.
Well, yeah, because...
But Zbysko was fine. It's just, to me, he made it too much about himself all the time.
Yeah. And Zbysko...
He loved himself.
Zbysko and Schiavone, you could tell that they were friends. All right? Because the bickering back and forth between... There really wasn't any. It's better when the commentary team bickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need that heel because they were all like baby faces on the commentary when they were there.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Larry
but
was good for 1 hour.
What, Eric?
I said Larry was good for that 1 hour. He was like the opening act.
Yeah. But no, but Goldberg and Brad Armstrong was pretty good. For the fact that it was just basically just supposed to get Goldberg over.
Brad Armstrong deserved better, though, in his career.
Yeah. I mean, they always talk about the Armstrong curse.
He wore a shirt that said it.
Yeah.
But I always liked Brad. I felt bad for him that he never... Like, he got strapped with Arachnaman and fucking Buzzkill and shit like that.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
But Goldberg looked really hot here, not in a romantic way, but in a fan way.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Thanks, Eric. And I think the people, were really into him. I mean, they like, he got huge pops, and this is like the Goldberg everybody loves, just beating the shit out of fucking jabrones. No offense to Brad.
Right.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was, I mean, it's a Goldberg match. So I give it a 6 out of 10 because it did everything it needed to do.
I would say, yeah. I would definitely say 6 too.
Yeah,
I'll
give it 6.5.
There you go. All right, next up we got Chris Jericho and Hoovy in the title versus mask match for the WCW Cruiserweight title. Jericho wins clean, right?
Yeah.
I thought this was probably, it's either this or the U.S. title match for the best match of the card. I really thought, especially Jericho winning clean, but also being a douchebag heel the whole time, Hoovy taking the mask off.
Jericho ripping it off his face.
Yeah, but even after he like ripped it, like it didn't feel like a normal, like it wasn't like a normal rip, like how they do it to Ray, and then he's covering his face. Like Hoovy was proud of it. Hoovy lost, and he was like, "Here's my face."
Yeah,
and I thought,
yep. And he apologized to the camera in the camera to his dad.
Yeah, so I thought, to me, this is one of my favorite unmaskings in wrestling.
Yeah,
I thought that it was done in a different way, to where it didn't really humiliate him too much, even though that's what Jericho was trying to do. But also, like, it's like it was a new beginning for Hoovy, too, it seemed like. And
yeah.
I like Hoovy without the mask better, to be honest. So, because this is when he starts getting really fucking good.
Right, yeah, and to be
and
honest,
he
like,
had good chemistry.
He botched a lot with the mask on.
Yeah.
I don't think he botched that much with the mask off.
He could see better.
But because his mask... See, he had one of the masks that were like, it kind of had the patches over the eyes.
Yes.
All right. It wasn't like Ray's mask where he had the eye holes or... That's the one thing I could never really understand about Hoovy's mask or about like Super Kolo's mask. Because they had like patches over the eyes. You didn't have an eye hole. Well, actually, Super Kolo had sunglasses built into his.
Oh, shit.
But, like, you couldn't necessarily see anything. So the other guys had the eye holes and all that shit. But, like, with the patches over, it's like, how the fuck can you clearly see?
Yeah. I agree. I thought... They had great chemistry. And I thought the wrestling was fucking top-notch here.
Yeah, and then that false finish where they thought that Hoovy won the title.
Oh, that was one of the best parts, and he's, like, celebrating and stuff. And this was done really well. Jericho was really getting it heel-wise. This is when he was starting to really understand how
that he needed to be a dick.
Yeah, and, like, this is his first good character because he goes from the – and I like his work in, like, ECW and stuff and some matches when he was a bland white babyface in WCW, but – this is when he starts picking it up, for sure.
Yeah.
I think he'll even tell you that. So, I thought it was real good, and I thought Hoovy could go, and I thought it was a great match. I give it an 8 out of 10.
I'll say 8.5.
I say 8 out of 10.
All right.
They had a lot of matches after this one.
Yes, they did.
Especially on Nitro.
I liked Jericho's Cruiserweight Champion.
He had a good run.
He had some of the best matches.
I mean, this
on
one was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the Cruiserweight Champion.
I mean, he was cool with the TV title, too, but...
When did he get the TV title?
I like his Cruiserweight stuff better. Although, actually, no. His TV title stuff with Ralphus was fucking hilarious.
Well, his TV title stuff was interesting because they were like, just go do whatever. Just don't make too big of a noise.
Yeah.
And he was, like, doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
And this was about the Cruiserweight title run? When did he win the U.S.? I mean, not the U.S., the TV title.
99.
No, 98. Okay. 2 days after he lost the Cruiserweight title. I remember as a kid being in the office, like, oh, my God, we just got a belt off him. Does he really need another one?
He'd be Booker T, too.
Stevie Ray.
Oh.
That's
Stevie
the
Ray was
All right. So tell the people what the next match is, Doug.
Steve Mongo McMichael versus the British Bulldogs.
Mongo breaks his arm here.
Yeah. which is the match only goes 6 minutes, which, by the way, it only needs to go 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And
I know this injury is a little different than what happened to Martel with the knee, but there's both bad injuries. And I'm not saying Bulldog and McMichael aren't consummate professionals too, but you definitely knew his arm was broke.
Yeah. Well, him screaming.
And it was fucking hanging almost.
Yeah.
The way he was holding it and shit.
And then, like, the fact that they got it. Like, I kind of have a feeling that he was supposed to win.
How long did Bulldog last here? He wasn't here for very long.
September. He had to take time off. Because remember, he came in, his knee was blown.
Yeah. Did he leave right after, like, for the Montreal thing?
He came over in December. He was supposed to get knee surgery done, but then Bischoff wanted him right away, so he came in January.
Yeah.
He lasted till April, and he got his knee scoped. Doctors wanted him to get reconstructive surgery, but he didn't want to lose his spot.
Yeah.
So he got the scope. And then came back in June, lasted till September when he hurt his back when he took that bump on the trapdoor at Fall Brawl.
That sucks.
Yeah. Basically he was never the same after. And by the way, that trapdoor was for the Warrior. And the Warrior, like, 3-4 years after Davey Boy had passed, was talking, like, somehow did an interview with somebody and was talking major shit about him.
About Bulldog? Why?
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but he was talking about, you know, I'm pot calling the kettle black, but he was talking about Bulldog's steroid use.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
And it's just like, dude, you helped him get the steroids in 92. And, like, the reason why he went real heavy in 98 is because he fell on your fucking trapdoor. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah. I have a feeling Mongo was supposed to win. Because if he wasn't supposed to win, Bulldog would have beat him with the power slam. It wouldn't have been the armbar.
That's true, Bartolino.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The match wasn't very good, but I love Mongo for his charisma, and I think he's underrated for how charismatic he was, especially coming out of, like, a legitimate sport and the fact that he was just entertaining. It's not like he's an actor, but he's entertaining. And Bulldog's always one of my favorites. So I didn't like the match. I give it a 5 out of 10, probably.
I would definitely say 5. I got to say this about Mongo. Like, the night that was Deborah's last night in WCW, like, she had just been fired by Alex Wright. And Gene was interviewing Mongo about it, and he's just like, I gained a lot of respect for that boy. He goes, it took him just a few weeks. I had to put up with that woman for years before I could finally let her go.
I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
And then when she tried to get back with him, he said, you know what? You could turn around and get the hell out of here. And Gene Okerlund got the fucking microphone.
That's funny.
Mongo
and then
was
married Austin, right?
Yeah, she married Austin later on. Rockin' Austin! Yeah.
All right. DDP and Chris Benoit for the U.S. title. I mean, this is my favorite match on the card. I thought this had everything that it needed. I thought Benoit fucking, you know, really brought the technique to DDP. People that say DDP can't wrestle, watch this. He could wrestle very well.
DDP.
I love DDP as well.
The Diamond Cutter was better. Here's a hot take. Diamond Cutter was better than RKO.
Did Give it to me, baby. That's your... yeah, I mean... I don't agree.
I like it better.
I mean, it's the same fucking move, pretty much, but I agree with you. I love...
yeah.
I mean, I love that the... I like the idea of the RKO out of nowhere. Like, I like the idea that you can do any... Like, Randy could be anywhere, and he'll hit you with an RKO. But DDP and the fucking, like, the logo and shit that he did with his hands, like, the diamond, and then fucking... The setup to that move is a lot more fun. Like, I'd rather watch DDP hit a diamond cutter charged up than watch Randy Orton fucking stomp on the fucking canvas and fucking throw his fists around and shit and, you know, have a fucking panic attack. As much as I love both of them, but I actually agree with you.
I love both of them too, yeah. Randy made it more... I guess he made it more perfect, I guess. I'm trying to say. Because they're basically the same thing.
That's true.
The thing about this match, because again, they were in the feud with Raven or whatever, but like the fact that there was no interference in this match and they were just allowed to have it, this really was a good, because at the time, I was a fan of both guys.
Me too.
Yep.
Do you have anything else on the match, Doug, before we move on? These are two of your favorites.
I would have liked to have seen Benoit win the U.S. title here, but I understand what they were doing with DDP.
Yeah, I like both of them a lot, but I'm glad DDP won. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I give this match a 9 out of 10.
I'm gonna
give it a 9 out of 10 too.
I'm gonna agree with the 9.
It's a match that's not talked about enough, and you know, for good reason. But still, good wrestling. All right.
Yep.
Really rolling through here. Next up, we got Luger and Savage. Luger and Savage.
Right.
With Miss Elizabeth in his corner. This is a no DQ match, even though the ring guy should get fucking his ass beat. The bell ringer?
Timekeeper.
Whatever the fuck. I mean, does he ring a bell?
Yes.
So he is a bell ringer as well.
Well, yeah, he's a bell
ringer. I know that's the official title, but he also rings the bell. That's part of his title as the...
Timekeeper.
Timekeeper. The keeper of time.
Yeah.
The ringer of bells.
So there was a review that a guy did back in 2012, and the guy said the first... however many matches on this pay-per-view were great, then you get to the last three, and you could tell that the participants in the last three matches, the marquee matches, did not give a fuck because of all the run-ins and the swerves and the fucky finishes. So the guy had said, watch the first two-thirds of the pay-per-view for work rate, which, by the way, the first third... two-thirds of the pay-per-view include Mongo and Bulldog. So.
And Goldberg.
Yeah. And Disco.
Well, Disco could go.
So he's like, watch the first two-thirds of the pay-per-view for work rate. Watch the last third of the pay-per-view for the star power.
Yeah, but that was WCW. That's how it was supposed to be. And that main event was still pretty good. Like, fuck that. I don't think
I thought this match was a lot. Well, and it was done in two separate matches.
Well, this match was good.
This match was good until they did that finish.
And even honestly, the finish, the exact same. First of all, it should have gone a little longer, would be my only issue. But the only reason this match kind of flopped at the end was because the timekeeper's a fucking idiot. And it's a no DQ match. So when the NWO comes up and start beating the shit out of people and fucking Savage is beating them up too. Like, that's a cool moment. That's cool. Savage is beating them up. Luger's beating them up. Like, it's fucking, I like that finish and everything ends. And then, but fucking Savage somehow gets distracted and Luger gets him for the fucking, you know, the torture rack. And then he taps out and then Hogan's sitting there in the alleyway. I'm glad he got beat. Yeah. That's all great. I'm fine with that. But when the NWO comes, Don't fucking ring the bell, you idiot. It's no disqualification. It's stupid. It takes away and it ruined the crowd.
Yeah.
The crowd stopped popping because of that and they started booing. They yeah. stopped giving a fuck because they thought that they got DQ'd. So then when Luger actually wins the match and he taps, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, because like when Savage yeah. and Luger were both beating up the NWO, that did pop the crowd. But then the bell rang and it's just like, okay.
Because they thought it was a DQ and they're like, this is stupid. This isn't a real ending. So no one gave a shit anymore because the timekeeper's a fucking moron. Like, it could have got a pop. It could have got everything. Luger could have got a pop for the fucking torture rack. Like, they didn't stop reacting just because they didn't like or just because they liked Savage. And Savage got screwed because they liked Luger, too.
Yeah.
They stopped popping because they thought the match ended by DQ and it was another fucky bullshit WCW finish. When it was actually a good, well-thought-out finish, the timekeeper just sucks. And maybe he was told to do that. I don't know. But if he was told to do that, then Bischoff should fucking...
Where the hell was Bischoff?
Who knows, but I'm not mad at it. I it's nice to see Hogan without him under his desk for a few minutes. I'm getting so sick of the fucking... And with all the Nitros we're watching around this time, and just every week it's the same thing. Hogan comes out, fucking... Bischoff bows to him, holds the microphone to him, and...
And then J.J. Dillon makes an announcement about
yep.
some kind of match.
Yeah, and then J.J. Dillon acts like he fucking
like,
means something.
Last night, you were pissed when J.J., because they did the segment where they reinstated Nick Patrick, but as soon as he came on, they were just like, oh, this fat fucking idiot.
Yeah, and even when he gave Sting the belt to him, I'm like, give him the belt and get the fuck out of the ring, you stupid dumbass. I don't like J.J.
You're not
a
J.J.
Like
Dillon fan, are you?
I like him as a manager of the Four Horsemen. And I respect,
yeah.
like, what he tried to do, like, with talent relations and stuff. And, like, he's a good, like...
You didn't like the on-air commissioner thing he did.
No, because he was a fucking
yeah.
attention whore. And it was all... And I'm sure he was being told to do all this stuff. That's fine. There's a big table right there, but... a lot of space. Big table. But he had a lot of screen time that he took away from, like, especially on Nitro when we have, like, 3-minute matches. Like, the fucking, like, you're giving Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko, like, 4 minutes, but then fucking J.J. Dillon's on there for 20 talking about fucking Nick Patrick. Like, suck my dick. This is fucking stupid. And it makes no sense. And it's like, and I like J.J. Dillon, but it's like... And he sucked. He wasn't a good baby face. People didn't care. Like, the whole Nick Patrick thing, like, when that was happening, what was the fans cheering? Boring.
Yeah.
Boring, boring. Even, like, when he's like, you're not in the main event, they were like, oh, yay. But then after, they're like, boring. No one gave a fuck. And no one ever gave a fuck when he was on screen. So it's like, it's no offense, but I thought it sucked. And I thought he sucked.
I agree.
But I thought Randy and Luger for the wrestling beforehand and even the finish, everything, without the timekeeper, I would give it a 6 out of 10.
I would say 6.
It would have been 7 without the timekeeper mess up.
Yeah.
I'll give it 6.5.
We'll give it a what?
6.5.
Okay.
Outsiders with Dusty Rhodes, because Dusty's in the NWO because nothing needs to make sense. The exact guy
exactly.
that should be against the NWO is in the fucking NWO. And they're going against the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott. This is the infamous Scott heel turn, which I thought this was actually
yep.
done pretty well. I understand them saying, oh, they're just mailing it in. But it's like, this is a big moment, especially because Scott's best work in his career comes when he joins the NWO. And he's the big bad booty daddy and all that shit.
So, like... The way it was booked, like, you would think that this was going to be, that this would have been done, like, weeks ago. Like, when Scott and Rick won the tag titles from Hall and Nash, like, 2 weeks prior, like, you almost would have thought that this would have happened right then and there.
Really?
But, well, because they had been having problems for weeks anyway, because Scott had become a glory hog.
Yes.
But when they made their entrance last night, Scott was panned towards the camera, getting ready to do the bicep pose, but then the camera cut off of him.
Yeah.
So they had to go back to him. He was still standing in that exact spot. They had to go back to him so he could do the bicep pose.
I'll tell you what, though. I love I thought my only critique with this is that I think they should have wrestled for a little bit instead of, like, I mean, Rick and Scott had a little bit of a match, but Kevin Nash, I don't think ever really tagged.
Well, don't forget, Kevin Nash is lazy.
Yeah, but I just, like, if I did have a, I thought the moment was good, but I do think they could have had a little bit of a match beforehand. But it's still, like, it was pretty impactful. They're kicking ass. Rick looks like a million bucks. And then fucking they come in, they do the pose. You know, he's right under his brother, and then his brother fucks him over. The only other critique I have is Rick didn't need to kick out after that. Give him the razor's edge right away. I know it makes him look tough, but it also kind of takes away a pop.
Yeah.
And it's like, because people didn't give a shit about the Steiners. And that's like... People complain nowadays, the bad guy shouldn't be cheered for. Me, me, me. But, like, around then, like, it's all NWO fans in the building.
Yeah.
Hogan and Sting is a split crowd, and that's just because it's Sting. And here, like, the Steiners are the heels, pretty much.
Yeah, even though they're booked as the babyface. I got to say this. So, you know the Mattel retro figures?
Yes.
So... Ringside Collectibles is doing an exclusive. They have the NWO pack of the Mattel Retro Waves. You can get a two-pack of either Hall and Nash, or the other two-pack is Six and Hogan.
Really?
Yeah. They're up for pre-order now on Ringside Collectibles, so hopefully... And they'll ship out in May. So hopefully when they become available, I can hopefully get my hands on at least one of them, because I think those would be kind of cool to have. Because it's NWO. So you get the NWO Retro Pack.
Oh, how much?
I think they're going to be like 50 or 60 bucks.
Okay.
60 bucks.
But, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And, like, I do think that they should have had the match, like, Scott, like, not tag in or whatever. Or, like, do, like, the little bit of the thing where, like, he kind of pushes one of them back or whatever. And then, like, makes the tag. And then, like, when Rick hits the hot tag, that's when Scott, you know, that's when Scott gets him.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have done it like that.
I agree. But I was fine with the pose and hitting them, too.
Yeah.
I thought the moment was cool. And I liked how Scott hit DiBiase after, too.
Yeah.
Especially because this was made by such a big deal by DiBiase, that this was kind of his redemption.
Yeah.
I give the whole
word.
Huh?
I thought Ted joined the NWO.
He did, but this is after that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's a good guy here. This is like the Nitro we did a few weeks ago. He talked about it. He was like he fucking swore off the NWO pretty much.
Yeah, that was back in August.
I'm a good man now, or some shit like that. I give the whole moment a 6 out of 10.
I'll say 6.5.
I knew Eric was going to go 7. Sting versus Hollywood Hogan in the main event for the vacant championship. Now, and this is why, like, to what that guy said, you know, fuck you, pal. Like, this is actually a good main event. Fuck it. To me, this is the Starrcade deal done right. Hogan, the crowd's going bananas. You got Buffer going, let's get ready to rumble. This was like a fucking big-time main event. Sting got the moment at the end. The crowd still cheered, even though, and they were cheering the whole time because they liked both guys. Hogan played a really good heel, and you know Sting got the win, wrote, and we did have some bullshit with the NWO, and that's fine, but then Macho comes out, and he's a good guy, and he beats the shit out of Hogan.
Nails Hogan with the spray paint, with the spray paint can.
Yeah.
And leaves the spray paint can in Hogan's armpit so Sting can spray paint Hogan.
Yeah, and I thought he was doing that because I don't remember this shit. So I thought he was doing that so that Nick Patrick would see that and disqualify him. That's what I thought was going to happen last night. I was getting ready to bitch about this.
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh, no, he's doing it for the other reason. Because Nick Patrick, I thought, was going to fuck him because that was the whole deal. But the whole thing with – because I thought the segment with Nick Patrick was fucking stupid, like I said earlier. But him coming out during the match worked, Robinson getting hurt, the NWO coming out, Macho. Like, to me, they had you suspended in disbelief that thing that Hogan could have won the whole time, and you're expecting Hogan to win. So then when Sting won, it really meant a big deal. So to me, I'm giving this an 8 out of 10, and I thought this was like a really stellar main event.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and because it was done in two different matches, because you had the first several minutes where Charles Robinson was refereeing, then he gets wiped out, and then Hogan, and then, you know, they go back because, you know, Sting stole for the first few minutes, and then Sting made a comeback. Robinson gets taken out, and then they do a whole other match with Nick Patrick out there. And it was, again, it was what the Starcade match should have been, but the problem is that Hogan didn't want to do a clean job.
Yeah.
Hogan should have just put him over clean at Starcade. But no, because Sting came in and did not look like he was on steroids, Hogan's just like, fuck it, I'm not doing it's not going to be clean. We gotta fuck this thing up. Because Hogan is a selfish prick.
Well, it's also the referee's fault. Who reffed that match again?
Nick Patrick.
That was his fault. Because that was not a fast count.
Hogan went up to him and said, just so you know, count regular.
Yeah, Hogan doesn't own the company.
Well, it's Nick Patrick's fault for not going to Bischoff and saying, this bald idiot told me to do this. What the fuck am I doing?
That was stupid. It made Sting look like a moron.
Yeah, exactly, which was what Hogan was trying to do. Hogan is a no-good piece of shit.
See, you could have done this there.
Yeah,
and
it would have worked.
By the way, where the fuck was Bret Hart here? Was it even Ric Flair built into something or no?
I think they were going to try to build to Hart and Flair as a team.
Oh.
Because they were... they worked against each other at the sold-out pay-per-view, but then they become friends after. As a matter of fact, they actually bailed Luger and Sting out of an ass-kicking the Nitro before.
So those two, you know, they didn't make the cut compared to Disco Inferno and La Parca?
Yeah, like they just kind of got – Kurt Hennig wasn't there either.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Ric Flair was off for a couple weeks.
No, well, Flair was still doing, like, they all went to Sacramento the next night, but for some reason they weren't used for Super Bowl. You have fucking La Parca and Disco and Brad Armstrong making the fucking cut.
Isn't Super Bowl supposed to be their second biggest pay-per-view?
It could be considered their second biggest pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah, then I agree. Ric Flair should have been on this card.
I mean, it should have been, but
yeah.
So, it depends. I think it's like if you're going to have the four, it's going to be like the Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
It'd be Super Brawl, Havoc, Beast, and Starcade.
I would agree with that. Maybe throw Great American Bash in there.
Yeah.
Even Slamboree? How about Slamboree?
Early on.
No, not Slamboree. Slamboree is like Avengers.
Slamboree is one of those things. If you could go back and wipe out four pay-per-views.
Slamboree, Uncensored. Because I like Uncensored, but like it was supposed to be like the Extreme Rules, and it never really was.
Yeah.
It was just another pay-per-view.
Oh, what I mean, before you finish your thought, wipe out four pay-per-views and just replace them with the Clash TV specials.
Okay. So, yeah, those two. Slamboree, Uncensored, Mayhem Never Meant a Damn.
At this time, it was still World War III.
I like World War III. Keep that. Sold Out.
Yeah.
You don't need Sold Out. And I don't know. I can't think of another one.
I'll say World Wild.
Yeah.
First of all, they worked it for free.
Yeah,
they
never...
didn't pay the biker. The bikers didn't have to buy tickets.
Yeah. It was stupid, but it was kind of like an atmosphere thing that it was kind of fun.
So So I would actually say...
I'm almost done.
I would actually say sold out, like you just said.
Yeah.
I would say Slamboree, because, again, you would kind of have to do it quarterly. So I would say sold out, Slamboree, then you wipe out Road Wild, and then I would actually, even though I kind of like the concept, I would get rid of World War III. Because Bischoff hated running that event anyway.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that would be like, because it would make more sense on a pay-per-view calendar.
I guess so, but yeah. I liked World War III.
Well, I'm talking like, too. Like if you wanted to move like World War III.
Because what you said, Slamboree, what else? Sold out, Road Wild, and
World War III.
Well, what's before sold out?
That
was really an NWO pay-per-view.
Yeah. Or, like, what you could do is you could get rid of, like, or you can move, like, World War...
You didn't need Spring Stampede, dude.
I was going to say, like, if you want to move World War III to April...
Yeah, and then get rid of Spring Stampede, because you need Bash at the Beach, you need Great American Bash. I'll even say you need Fall Brawl because of
War Games.
You need Fall Brawl.
Yep.
And you need Havoc and shit, too, obviously.
Yeah.
But let's give our overall thoughts of this whole thing. Did we all give this a rating, the match, or no?
I'm giving it a 9.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 9, too.
All right. My final thoughts on this was I thought this was one of the most consistent and very good WCW pay-per-views I've seen in a long time. And I thought top to bottom, the work was really good. The characters were fine. I thought, like, it sped along good. It had good pacing. I never really got bored. There was only a couple instances of filler, and it wasn't very much. And even the filler was kind of fun, like La Parca and Inferno and shit. I thought I would give this whole thing an 8 out of 10, and I thought this was a really – like, this is everything Starrcade probably should have been that year. And I thought Hulk and Sting really made a good moment, and – There's a lot to like on this. I would recommend it to anybody. What do you think?
I'll go next.
What do you think, Eric?
I like this pay-per-view. I think it was probably the best WCW pay-per-view we've done so far. I don't know how many we've done. But from top to bottom, I enjoyed every match. I even enjoyed the disco match. The Michael match was... It shouldn't have been under, but that's a filter match. Every other match was pretty good. I give this pay-per-view a 9 out of 10.
All right.
Storyline-wise, it was perfect.
I was going to say, Eric, can I go now?
Yeah.
This is why I keep petitioning to get you fired. the thing about this in WCW 98, like, it was one of the more profitable years. But things started to go down because WWF started to go up. But they were still extremely hot here. And this pay-per-view was one of the reasons why. Because you start with a hot opener like Booker T and Martel. And a match that stuff did not go right, but you could not tell. And then you end with the hot finish like Sting and Hogan. And what, like you said, Starrcade was supposed to be that. Overall, the only thing I did not like about this pay-per-view was Scott Norton showing up twice.
Yeah, he's a boob. And he was the first one in at the main event. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's like, dude. You're not the most important member of the NWO. Get the fuck out of here, you fat piece of shit.
Arguably the least. Him and Horace Hogan could have a match for the least important.
Yeah. So, like, other than that, you know, I liked the majority of the matches. I even liked Mongo and Bulldog. I felt like, you know, had Mongo not broken his arm, it would have been... Well, first of all, I think Mongo would have won. Or no, I don't even think he would have won. I do think it would have been a better finish.
Yeah.
But I think everybody busted their ass. Mongo and Martel busted other body parts as well. But overall, I'm going to give it, because this actually is one of my favorite pay-per-views, I'm going 9.5 out of 10.
Holy shit. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Next week, we will be doing, by the way, we're on Scripted Wrestling at 6:30 p.m. on Fridays, obviously.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Undertaker and Steve Austin feud retrospective next week.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to. By your monotone, yeah, it doesn't seem like you're excited, but I'm sure you really are.
Yeah, I really am jumping.
Oh, I am.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, because, you know, we try to kind of, you know, go, you know, WCW 1 week, WWE the next, then maybe throw in like a TNA or something like that, or do like something special after, like, you know, kind of involving all of them. But no, Austin and Undertaker, because there's a lot to talk about there, because they pretty much worked several times over like a 4 or 5 year span.
That's true.
Yep. It's probably Austin's second biggest rivalry besides, that's not a wrestler. I mean, that's a wrestler besides Rock.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think he's wrestled The Undertaker more times than anybody. Like, that whole fucking Attitude Era felt like every pay-per-view was fucking Undertaker and Austin at some point.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, they first match they worked against each other was in 96, but then in 97 they had the one title match, and that was pretty much because Vince knew that they were the top two guys in the company, so I was like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah, but it felt like it was like he Austin was in The Undertaker and Kane stuff for a little bit. Like, him and Undertaker, like, with the Dark Ministry went after Taker before that. Like, him and Taker had a lot of issues, it seemed like.
I think from July of 98 till December of that year, the two of them saw each other at all the pay-per-views but one.
That's what I'm saying. It was fucking nuts. So, I'm excited for that one. Make sure to check out the Wrestling Outlet on Saturdays for the Hollywood Hangout, even though they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And check them out on Wednesdays, Box and Smart. Box is a pretty cool dude. I don't know the other guy, but I'm sure he's nice. Make sure to check out us. We already said Unscripted Wrestling, but Unscripted Unlimited on Saturdays. This week, Doug and Eric are going to be doing their top 10 favorite sports movies.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun.
Sunday, make sure to check out me and Mindy for the Stabcast. She announced what we're doing, but I forgot. So there you go.
I forget it all the time. So.
On the Web Cave Monday, me and Bobo are back again to talk about Green Arrow, finally. We pushed that back for some other important things, but we will be talking about the Emerald Archer. So that's going to be a fun time. And Hard Hits is done, right?
No, we're doing our Super Bowl review next week.
Okay, so make sure to check out Hard Hits sometimes this week or next week or whatever the fuck for the Super Bowl review. And are you guys doing any XFL stuff or no?
Maybe about when if I have time or if I have time, if we watch it during the weekend. I think it's only going to be on the weekend, I think one Thursday night game.
Yeah. And we got a bunch of good content coming from the whole network. Is there anything else, Doug?
Make sure you catch Daniel and I May 13th in the Lehigh Valley out here in Pennsylvania for the Lehigh Valley Toy, Comic, and Card Expo.
Yes.
We're going to be selling some toys. If we can get the people to let us do a podcast, we might do a live podcast out there. But, yeah, it'll be Daniel and I. Sharon will more than likely be with us just to make sure we don't get arrested.
That's right.
All right. We'll see everybody next week. Have a good night.
Later.
Have a good weekend, guys.
You too, Eric.